This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes, Jack McKenna here. It's September 20th, 1950. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news with all the election results and the Leathernecks storm across the Han River to Seoul. We've got an editorial about victory over the commies in Korea and the best doggone music of 1950.
I wish you wouldn't say commies. It sounds too flippant.
It does sound like the funny papers kids read in a Sunday paper. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Abrahamson's Family Shoe Store. They've got Buster Brown shoes for the kiddies, not to be confused with commies, at $4.99. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The U.S. Marines are on the verge of retaking Seoul. We have two shortwave radio reports.
This is Tokyo, Japan. Don Whitehead, Associated Press. Marines by the thousands rammed across the Han River today under blistering red gunfire and struck swiftly on Seoul. On their first lunges from the riverbank, they drove ahead 4 miles, halfway to the South Korean capital. Powerful American tanks ferried after them across the water hurdle, turning up sandbanks and over rice paddies 5 hours later. The first Marine infantry assault wave hit the river at dawn in amphibious tractors loaded with Leathernecks. The Marines' first river crossing try in darkness was repulsed by red gunfire. The second, after daybreak and a long-range naval shelling of the Reds from Incheon, was a success. The Red Koreans fled before this armored vanguard of a 40,000-man Allied Liberation Force. Americans and their communist enemy are still racing for possession of the capital. Communist troops rush from the old Southeast Korean front and are streaming into Seoul along a winding secondary road from the southeast. The Leathernecks are striking at Seoul from the northwest, a slugging match in the streets of the 500-year-old capital, a city normally of 1 million people, seemed imminent. 1st Division Marines pulled out of Southeast Korean front lines for the surprise second front operation that began last Friday at Incheon, assaulted the Han's northeast bank 8 miles northwest of Seoul as a three-quarter moon paled out in daylight. It stormed across the river in Amtraks after Navy guns had shattered red strong points from waters off Incheon. The Navy big guns, now joined at Incheon by the 15-inchers of the battleship Missouri, were called on to lob shells 20 miles inland at the Reds. In Tokyo, this is Don Whitehead reporting.
Hello, this is Max Jordan with the Fighting 5th Regiment Leathernecks on the outskirts of Seoul. I went across in an Amtrak with the first wave early this morning. The enemy, tipped off by the failed night attempt, was waiting. Bullets began to slam across the side of our Amtrak, and through a slit in the rear door, I could see little spouts of water which jumped up as bullets hit. But the steel sides protected us, and the Amtraks plowed ahead. Then we were ashore and climbing a steep, sandy bank as the machine guns rattled. The men were tense, and they gripped their weapons, ready for the dash through the door. First through the door was Master Sergeant Anthony Kent of Salina, Kansas, with a box of 3 fluffy white rabbits. Kent had bought them with a pack of cigarettes. They are mascots of the 5th Regiment Leading Battalion, 12 rabbit steets with rabbits attached. The man behind me screamed and pitched forward. Another Marine screamed and fell from the Amtrak. The enemy on the hill above us was shooting straight down into our men as they came out of the door. Other Marines were hit. Major Mike Ehrlich of San Diego sent a rifle squad around the ridge. The Amtrak swung around and the machine gun began spitting bullets. Soon mortar shells were thumping into the Reds. The Marines were ashore to stay. With the 5th Regiment outside Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
The Spokesman Review newspaper says Navy Secretary Francis Matthews will resign, and the job has already been offered to former Minnesota Governor Harold Stassen. Stassen is a leading Republican presidential aspirant. Stassen is reported to be considering the offer from President Truman. Political editor of the Review, Ashley Holden, writes in a front-page story that Secretary Matthews is, quote, bitter over the administration's repudiation of his recent speech advocating a preventive war with Russia, unquote. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from Abrahamson's Family Shoe Store.
Indeed I have, Lou. And listen closely, folks. You're going to like this. A closing out sale at Abrahamson Family Shoe Store doesn't happen that often. So when you hear about it, you've just got to investigate. Boys' dress Oxfords, now just $3.99. Men's Freeman shoes, sale price $8.49 and up. Buster Brown shoes for children, now $4.99. Hey, there's racks, I say, of women's shoes reduced to $2.99. Can you believe it? Robin Hood children's shoes on sale at $2.99. And men's work shoes, get this, guys, reduced $5.99 and up. So, folks, buy now and save at Abrahamson Family Shoe Store, 1315 Tower Avenue. Luke?
Congressman Alvin O.K. Okunski won an easy victory to advance in the Republican primary to November's general election. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Congressman Alvin E. Okunski of Mercer beat Douglas County District Attorney Andy Borg of Superior by about 5,000 votes for the Republican nomination as 10th District Congressman in yesterday's primary. Douglas County gave a heavy majority to Andy Borg in his home county, but nowhere near enough to offset the other 13 counties. Rodney J. Edwards of Superior is leading Herman Lampe of Winter 2-1 for the Democratic nomination. He'll be pitted against Okunski in the general election November 7th. Undersheriff Elton Eckroth won out over Deputy Louis Bannock and Harry Wenberg for the Republican nomination for Douglas County Sheriff. Arthur Stack won the three-way Democratic race with Elmer Quist and Elmer Ojemaki. Coroner William Downs is successful in his bid for renomination on the Republican ticket over William Thompson. And in the 11th District, State Senator Arthur Lenroot Jr. will oppose Elizabeth Hawks in the general election. Senator Lenroot was unopposed on the Republican ticket, and Ms. Hawks had no opposition on the Democratic ballot. Lou?
One incumbent was defeated and one victorious for Republican races in Bayfield County. Assemblyman S.C. Squires of the town of Kelly lost the nomination for re-election to Vic Wallen of Grandview. Wallen will be opposed in November by Jacob McCluck of Cable. Incumbent county office holders were easily nominated on the Republican ticket in Ashland County. The office of sheriff will be vacated in January by Richard Pufo. Undersheriff Frank Harris swept every precinct to beat Wallen Hennell and Terry Lindquist. On the Republican ticket, Assemblyman incumbent Bernard Gehrman of Mellon polled almost 3,000 votes to 960 for Charles Schrank of Ashland. One more item, good listeners. Superior school children did an excellent job in getting their parents out to the polls. 11,379 voters cast their ballots in Superior. City Clerk Ari McKeg says this is considerably ahead of the 1948 primary, which was a presidential contest. Superior and Douglas County children assisted the Get Out the Vote campaign with the urging of City School Superintendent Leslie Johnson. Jack?
Talk about putting a parent on the spot. Thanks, Lou Martin. Let's check the forecast for this Wednesday, friends. September 20th, 1950. Partly cloudy and warmer tonight and tomorrow, with a low tonight of 50 degrees, and tomorrow's high at 70. It's music time. Here's a new one by Nat King Cole called Too Young on the Martin and McKenna Show.
They try to tell us we're too young, too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word, a word.
but can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet, we're not too young to know. This love will last, though years may go. And then someday they may recall we were not too young at all. To know this love will last, though years may go, and then someday they may recall we were not too young.
Nat King Cole and Too Young. Hey, folks, Ashland's Bay Theater is playing the Caribou Trail tonight through Saturday, while the Royal Theater has Greer Garson and Walter Pidgeon in Blossoms in the Dust tonight and tomorrow. You know, I like Greer Garson.
What red-blooded American male doesn't?
Oh.
You know, every time I come in here, you people are acting like Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Buck it up, you two. And McMartin, I got a bone to pick with you. How come you didn't do a story about the famous commie on the loose in Superior? You covering up for your pinko buddies?
Colonel Joe Raffaele, prominent Republican and local draft board chairman. And I know what you're talking about, Colonel, and I didn't think it was newsworthy. The fact is, there's nothing but innuendo and smearing a good man's reputation in that story.
Well, the Telegram did the story.
What story?
Thanks, Jack.
I forgot, McCorkle. You don't read, do you? It's that explorer, Vilhammer John Stephensonston, the fella in the Telegram. Hallbrook Wiggler, he's my favorite.
That would be syndicated columnist Westbrook Pegler.
Oh, as if you'd know. He's the guy who does the commie watch. He says that Stevenson is in Superior and is on his way to Alaska. You know, Alaska used to be Russian.
About 80 years ago.
This Davidson guy is a Canadian, which explains a lot.
What on earth does that explain?
It explains that Peterson's a foreigner. So anyway, Wiggler says in today's column that Frankelson is in Superior, staying at some hotel. And McMartin didn't even have it in his newscast.
I think we've heard enough, Jack.
No, wait. I really do have a reason for being here.
Other than complaining? Lou's right. On with the music. Here's British songstress Vera Lynn.
I love Vera Lynn.
I was going to say the same thing. And Auf Wiedersehen, sweetheart, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
She's singing kraut music?
Oh. has come to part. We'll kiss again like this again. Don't let the teardrops start. With love that's true, I'll wait for you. Avidazen, sweetheart. Avidazen.
Lynn und auf Wiedersehen, sweetheart, on KUWS.
Okay. About the reason that I am here.
Now with tonight's editorial, here's Superior Evening Telegram Managing Editor, Clough Gates. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Lou. There's a time and a place for optimism. Everyone at home hopes our field commanders know what they're talking about when they say the war is over in Korea. The valiant American retreat down the peninsula and the game stand our soldiers made for weeks in their narrow bridgehead, and now the amphibious assault at Incheon, stand out as bright chapters in U.S. military history. The generals tell us, in effect, that we are starting a fresh page in a new chapter, but no one should imagine that it will make breezy, lighthearted reading. No matter how confident our leaders may be of final victory, too ready optimism over the quick collapse of the North Korean enemy seems ill-advised. First of all, we don't know yet that the Russians, who are directing the North Koreans, will not pour new and powerful weapons into the battle. If the Russians do that, some of the equipment will get through, despite the pounding that Allied flyers are giving North Korean transports. Nor can any American leader be confident that the Chinese Reds will not throw some of their battle-toughened divisions into the fray and keep the North Koreans from being rolled up beyond the 38th parallel. Apparently, U.S. officials think this isn't going to happen, but they don't really know. And they can't know until the American offensive puts the Russians and Chinese to that test. Lou?
Evening Telegram Managing Editor, Clough Gates.
I want to shake your hand, sir. That's some good sleuthing you did to get that story about that explorer, Stephen Billinson.
That's Vilhjalmr Stefansson. He's a noted explorer from Fort St. John, British Columbia.
See? You can't trust these pinkos. He said he was from Canada, and now it turns out he's from South America.
South America?
Oh. Station engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio.
All right, what are you doing here, Skinny?
I work here. Same question for you, Budinsky.
I'd like to explain that even though we did a story about Vilhjalmr Stefansson, that doesn't mean we endorse the idea that he's in league with...
I'm here with some important news. That's what.
Sounds like the blowhard news to me.
Blowhard news? Right. I got your blowhard news right here.
Just like that captain, right now, Horatio Blowhard, like me, I read all about when I was in the...
I guess that would be the upside. The downside is losing our credibility.
I didn't realize you operate such a rogue operation here.
You're wrong about the operation part. That would indicate that we have some control over this, which we don't.
I have no idea what we have next. So let's enjoy this great number from Joe Stafford and You Belong to Me on the Martin and McKenna Show. Joe Stafford and You Belong to Me on Station KUWS.
I think the best course of action is to find out why Colonel Raffaele is here.
I think calling the cops is the best course of action.
Cute. Real cute. Frickin' frack. Cutting it up again. Well, just to let you know, Chief Buchanan is a pal of mine and an upstanding Republican to boot. And if you look at yesterday's election, we did pretty darn good. We got candidates in every single race that came out on top.
That's because it was a primary election.
Well, just wait till November rolls around. Mr. President Harry S. Truman is in for a rude awakening. Anyhow, you're probably dying to know why I'm here.
You've got half that right.
I have a chance for the people of Superior to rally around their men in uniform, just like they did during WW2. Being on the board of directors of the community chest, I want to urge people to give. Did I say urge? I want to order people to give money, extra cash, to the community trust. Why? Why, you might ask?
Why?
Because it's time to meet the need of the national emergency and help our servicemen and women, like the USO Club. From 5 years ago, we were going to start a new rec center in town. It'll be called the ASAF.
Associated Services for Armed Forces.
No, no, no. It stands for Associated Services for the Armed Forces. smart guy.
I stand corrected.
It just so happens I'm chairman of the board of the County Community Chest. How come I don't see you at the meetings?
I like this guy. He's a newsman, but I like him. Why can't you be more like him, McMartin?
I'll try harder, Colonel.
Say, what's with that name of yours? Clough. Who names their kid Clough?
Time for one last musical number, friends. Here's the Mills Brothers and Glowworm on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Who names their kids Colonel? Well, unless their last name's Popcorn.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us less too far, we wonder. Love's sweet voices calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love. Turn on the AC and the DC. This night could use a little brightening. Light up, you little old bug of lightning. When you gotta glow, you gotta glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow and glimmer. Swim through the sea of night, little swimmer. Thou aeronautical boweevil. Illuminate yon wood's primeval. See how the shadows deep and darken. You and your chicks should get to sparking. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took the shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Go, little glow and go.
The Mills Brothers and Glowworm on station KUWS.
You know, Gardarndionio, McLewis didn't have anything in his news about that guy they think is a pinko. You know, that Canadian with a Norwegian name who's from South America.
Lou didn't do a story about Wilhelmer Stephenson staying in Superior? And I respected you, Lou.
It was nothing but alarmist gossip. Just because Stephenson owned a house with Professor Owen Lattimore in Vermont.
The same guy who tail-gunner Joe McCarthy accused of being a commie in the State Department.
That doesn't make him a communist. Stephenson is an Arctic explorer and an expert on Alaska. He's on his way there right now, stopping in Superior. I see no reason to harass him.
Well, the fact is, I know where he is. I did a little detective work. Well, investigative, if you will. Unlike a certain other reporter in this room.
Isn't our half hour up yet?
I called Stephenson's agent, G.W. Howard.
Also of British Columbia, according to Teckler.
And he says Stephenson is in Superior staying at the Android Hotel. So I checked with a buddy of mine there. The building engineer, Axel Fennell.
But he's our building engineer.
He's moonlighting at the Android.
Moonlighting?
Moonlighting.
More like moon shining.
Don't you want to find out what I found out? Okay, then. Axel told me that there's no Wilhelmer Stephenson registered, but there is a Stephen V.
Wow, that's great. I like his songs.
Not a singer. He's not a singer, don't you see?
I do. He's using a pseudonym. That's our man, the Pinko.
Well, there you go again. Commie this, commie that. You and that Pegler guy.
Pegler just tells it like it is. Calls it like he sees it.
At the expense of a good man's reputation, Pegler's a blowhard. That's what he is. Quick!
What?
Look over there, behind the desk. It's a commie!
Where?
Sheesh! You're so easy. Commies aren't hiding behind couches and desks.
He's got a point.
Yeah, he's got a point, all right. He's got a point on the top of his head.
Too many people are either calling someone a commie or getting labeled a commie these days, especially college professors and intellectuals.
That explains why they're trying to blacklist engineers.
I don't think you have to worry. No one will ever accuse you of being smart.
It's widely accepted that engineers are in the upper echelon of intelligentsia.
Not to be a clock watcher or anything, but it's finally time.
Stay tuned, folks, for Edward R. Murrow, Mr. and Mrs. North, Truth or Consequences, and Mystery Theater. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Westbrook Pigler doesn't do a column about us. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You're still trying to figure out what intelligentsia means, aren't you, Raffy?
Whatever those gents have to tell, I don't want to hear.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Eric Olson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.